Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. Don't you love that man behind the curtain? It's for all you conspiracy theorists
Favorite movie out there.
Many men, many
Wizard of Oz.
Many curtains in Washington. And it's just possible that the most important meeting in the U.S. government, or maybe even on planet Earth, takes place nowhere near the White House or Capitol Hill. It's a quiet little breakfast meeting held weekly, and there are just two people at the table, Ben and Hank. The weekly breakfast meeting between Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson and Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is not an on-the-record photo op for the Beltway paparazzi. It's a private forum for discussions that may just hold the fate of the global economy in the balance. Today, a closer look at the men at the helm, or apparently at the helm, of our foundering economic ship, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. Sudeep Reddy covers the Fed for the Wall Street Journal. Sudeep, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Boy, these two men have an extraordinary amount of power and an extraordinary moment in economic history. Who's driving? Circumstances or these two guys?
They certainly do, and they were probably both each thrown into these circumstances. Ben Bernanke came into this job and probably in what he inherited from his predecessor, Alan Greenspan, probably will turn out to be the worst housing market since the Great Depression. And it, of course, started just when he took over a little over 2 years ago. And so Greenspan really was focused especially on monetary policy, on setting interest rates, and kind of to try to stay out of a lot of other things that the Fed would have done, kind of taking the free market approach. Bernanke, though he certainly was a Republican when he came in and served in the Bush administration, when he came into the Fed, he's almost become an activist in trying to attack some of the problems. As an academic at Princeton, he was the expert on the Great Depression and really understood what happened there when a crash turned into a deeper financial crisis, and what the government response was and how the government failed in that case. And so he's really tried to step forward and be a lot more proactive. You can see that the economy has actually weakened during this entire episode. And so it's obviously a big question of whether that kind of activism is doing enough. But when you consider some of the possibilities, I suppose the counterfactual of what might have happened if he hadn't stepped in such a big way in some of these cases, whether we'd be in a far worse situation than we are now, almost frightening.
You know, the economic circumstances you've laid out very, very clearly there, but I'm wondering if there's also sort of political circumstances, or I guess, you know, maybe you just call it sort of power circumstances in Washington that also favor these two men. I mean, President Bush is at the lowest ebb of his popularity. He's in the last months of his second term, a lame duck. The successor is not clear. It seems like these two men, Ben Bernanke and Hank Paulson, have an extraordinary opportunity to take the reins. Is there any sign that they're picking up the power where the White House and other elements of the U.S. government really aren't capable of doing it?
They absolutely are. Secretary Paulson, of course, having been the former Goldman Sachs executive, he came in certainly holding a lot of that free market philosophy as well, and has tried to stay fairly neutral on some of these issues, hoping that the market would take over and work. But he has also become more activist, taking the role that Robert Rubin and Larry Summers did as Treasury Secretaries in the Clinton administration, and really pushing forward and probably guiding the White House along on most of this. But the White House certainly hasn't been at the wheel on a lot of these initiatives we've seen most recently. And so but Bernanke had actually been far ahead in that role and had been really becoming close friends and an ally of Barney Frank, the Democrat from Massachusetts, who is certainly one of the most outspoken liberals in Congress. And so they had an especially close relationship in kind of figuring out ways to step in and deal with the housing mess, and certainly Bernanke and Barney Frank have been probably two of the most creative people in trying to figure out plans to deal with this through the government response.
Well, it certainly shows that the power center in Washington is a slippery one right now in these waning months of the Bush administration. We mentioned, more testimony today from these men. Sudeep Reddy is a Fed reporter from the Wall Street Journal who joined us from Washington. Thank you, Sudeep.
Thank you.